Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler, and this podcast is brought to you by 42 Degrees with 4 convenient locations in Omaha.
Open 8 a.m. to midnight, 7 days a week by your mom's house. I'll see you there.
Welcome to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Katie Mack with us. We're talking about food. Now we're going to talk with Andrew Zimmern about bizarre food. We love this dude.
New season's
out now. Yeah.
Starts tonight.
Yeah.
And he's heading down.
Oh, it starts tonight.
Lewis and Clark Trail.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I see the photo we got here. You're holding, is that a couple of muskie there, Andrew?
I'm assuming it's going to be either salmon or sturgeon.
Okay. Yeah, we're looking at a photo here. I can't tell. It's a big, long fish.
Hey, it's a big, long fish, BLF.
And first of all, congratulations. I think you tweeted out of the day you've been sober 25 years, right?
Saturday was 25 years.
Now, I think we've talked to you before. Was it alcohol or was it drugs or was it both?
It was both.
Okay. Like Coke?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I grew up in the 60s and 70s in New York City,
right.
So... You know, I transferred quickly from mother's milk to cocaine and Quaaludes. I mean, that was just the time.
What was your alcohol? What was your alcohol of choice? I don't mean to throw you back into the.
But no, it was. I mean, for a while it was cocktails and beer and mm-hmm. all the rest of that kind of stuff. Drugs kind of dominated my life, but at a certain point, you know, knowing that something was wrong and continuously winding up in fistfights, jails, and mm-hmm. you know, psych wards. Drunk tanks and all the rest of that kind of stuff, just getting in trouble. I said, well, the problem has got to be the drugs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, because those are illegal. And when I went exclusively to booze, everything fell apart in a way that I can't even begin to describe.
Also, the drugs kept you on pace with the alcohol and you were somewhat normal.
Yeah, it just, you know, alcohol is very powerful. If,
yep.
if alcohol didn't exist and you and I invented it today
right.
and we submitted it to the FDA...
they wouldn't approve it.
it would be beyond a Class 5 substance. I mean, it just is, it's so dangerous. And luckily for me, when I went exclusively to alcohol, my life cratered in a powerful enough way to get me into sobriety.
Well, so congratulations.
I'm very grateful for that.
25 years, congratulations.
Yeah, there is really no...
Hey, don't cheat me. 25 years and 3 days now.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of days.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
We were just talking about
there are no medicinal benefits
here. Right.
To alcohol. It should be a Schedule I narcotic.
Well, let's not go crazy. We still like it.
I mean, here's the deal. There are people that can handle it, billions of them around the world.
Right.
And then for many of us, it acts almost as if it's an allergy, but it devastates us. I will say, working on doing a lot of board work away from TV and,
mm-hmm.
you know, a major focus of my social justice work is involved in, you know, chemical dependency, addiction, homelessness, food insecurity, and stuff like that. It is a staggering group of statistics, let us just put it that way, in terms of the negative economic impact that alcoholism has on our society. It affects everything from production to insurance to health and wellness. There's not a family in America that's not affected by this. So, you know,
we'll move on in a second here, but we were just talking about on this show, we're just trying not to have any alcohol during the week so we feel good while we're doing the show.
But I thought you guys were just focusing on no alcohol during on-air hours.
No. No, that, well, sometimes.
That doesn't always work.
Now, I want to ask you this. Before we talk about the new season, I saw this past week, I think you were in Philadelphia. I'm not sure how current that was, but, I'm familiar with the area you're at. You're in the market in Philadelphia, but you took a bite of a chocolate-covered onion, and you looked and you said, this sucks, and I love that. I love that because the person was selling them. I don't know if it was a gag or not, but They were selling them. I'm sure somebody likes them. You took a bite right in front of her and said, don't ever eat this ever again.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things. I mean, look, my you know, people always say, do you like everything
right. You
eat? Because you seem to enjoy everything. And I then accuse them of not paying attention close enough, which is fine because, you know, television is enjoyed, especially an entertainment program like mine, in a much different way. It's not 60 minutes. You're not riveted to the screen. However, if I eat something I don't like, which is about, you know, half the stuff I eat, I compliment the lady on her earrings. I thank you for the experience because I would rather be a better guest than, you know, an obnoxious TV show host, which most of the other ludicrous people in my profession fall into that category.
Yeah.
The thing is that sometimes you're confronted with something that is purposely put out there to be provocative. And at that point, I mean, look, I'm not the first person that ever sat there and said, wow, that is really, really gross. Now, I will also tell you that sales of the chocolate-covered onion have skyrocketed at that booth ever since. And yes, that was a six-year-old episode.
When you picked it up, I'm thinking, okay, a sugar and salt, I get it. Sometimes that stuff tastes pretty good. And I'm thinking,
where's the salt?
I know. I don't know. I don't mean salt. I mean just the different
salt
flavor.
Salt would have helped.
Right. So you took a bite. I'm thinking, oh, it probably does. I'm thinking, well, I wonder if that tastes good. And then you go, oh, this is ass.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are certain things that just on the face of it, you know, appear to be somewhat ludicrous, but when paired together are absolutely delicious. Then there are other things like, you know, smoked salmon and ice cream and chocolate and onions that just, you know, frankly, don't work.
Don't need to be together.
But you seem to have a more eclectic palate than most of us, because I was watching you eat some stuff in Hawaii last night that initially I would say, oh, God, that looks awful. It was some kind of soup. I don't recall exactly what was in it, but, you know, at first glance, I wouldn't have eaten it. I wouldn't even have tried it.
Well, if someone's grandmother is standing next to you and says, this is delicious and my family has enjoyed this for years, I'm really curious.
Right.
You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is that things don't always appear as they are. You know, I'm assuming we're all sitting in chairs right now. They seem very stable and very hard.
Right.
But we know the accepted science, you know, is that chair is a swirling mass of electrons. So it's constantly moving, although it doesn't appear that way to the naked eye.
Right.
I think we end up practicing contempt prior to investigation with a lot of those foods, and we say, oh, that's gross, and we turn the other cheek and walk away. I do the show, and we talk about this every time I'm on, because my fear is not that people do that with food, although I would like them not to, but my conviction is that we do it with people. They have a different skin color. They practice a different religion. They want to have sex with different people. They have a different spiritual system. They speak a different language. And if I can show people that you can learn a lesson through food about acceptance, tolerance, and understanding, then maybe we'll do that with the most important thing that we have in our lives, which are other people.
Man, that's great. I mean, so we're telling you we should tell Trump voters to watch your show, because I know I'm sure we lean the same way you lean. It sounds like
we have lots of people who I assumed voted for Captain Small Hands.
Yep. No. Nobody. No.
Show.
Nobody you're talking to. Nobody in this room. That's for sure. But I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Go ahead.
I encourage them. I encourage everybody to watch the show. I think a lot of people, especially the policy wonks who voted for him, will most definitely learn something. You know, I've spent the last year crisscrossing America in some of the most rural places that we have in our country.
Right.
And I did that as the run-up to election. I spent Martin Luther King Day in rural Mississippi. I spent Inauguration Day in rural Louisiana. I spent 250 days on the road talking to people. And I will tell you, the majority of the folks who cast the ballot for our current president did so thinking that he had their best interest at heart. My big fear for my fellow Americans is that the chickens have come home to roost, and it's going to be a very, very difficult and trying couple of months. But come on, we all know somebody out there has a picture of him with the
A Russian hooker.
Played water sports with the Russian hooker.
Oh, of course we do. That's going to happen eventually. I know we got to let you go, but I'll ask you one thing. In this whole new season of this All-American road trip, what's the worst thing you ate? Stuff that you...
Continues to be dinner at your house.
There you go. Man, my wife cooks. Man, that sucks.
It is, I will throw this plug in, and no joke, and I know I say this every year, but we work so hard to make our show better every year because the pressure is on us going into our 11th year, our 8 millionth episode, and all the rest of that.
Right.
This is easily the best season of Bizarre Foods we've ever made, and
cool.
I think people are going to absolutely love it.
All right. Congratulations, and thanks again. Thank you.
Thanks,
Andrew, appreciate
friend.
It. Take
always,
care, man.
Always good talking to you, Andrew.
Andrew Zimmern, Bizarre Foods, All-American Road Trip. He's just staying in the U.S. to lay a... So he's not eating rat ass.
Yeah, Route 66.
When he
66.
Goes to Cambodia, he eats rat ass.
So he did the Pacific Coast Highway.
Yeah.
You know, fun little American road trip.
I understand
stuff.
Electron. He went really heavy with the, sitting on electrons. Everything's, a mass of electrons.
Oh, yeah. He went all
but still, rat ass is still rat ass to me, right, Richard? Richard Reese with us. I mean, I'm not going to go to Cambodia. That's what drives me crazy about that show. I'll watch the All-American Road Trip. But some of those other countries, it's not our culture. I'm just not going to eat that.
The soup I was talking about.
What was it? Rat ass soup?
Ate in Hawaii. No, it was like intestines. It was goat, I think.
And
the parts of the goat that, if we ate goat, most we would actually throw away all of the goat. You or me.
After we're done with it, yeah.
But, yeah, it was intestines.
You've had goat?
I've had goat.
And nose.
I've had goat milk, maybe. Goat cheese, yeah, obviously. But you've eaten goat?
Yeah, my stepdad's from Pakistan.
Oh, so that's right. That's right.
I've eaten a lot of crazy stuff.
Well, that's
stuff.
Just meat, though,
not
right?
rat ass, though. Yeah, no.
Well, I've had, various testicles, as Todd.
Hot sauce on anything, man, it'll get it going for
you. Well, is goat just like lamb meat?
Yeah.
Similar, yeah.
I mean, pretty much.
All right. You have goat ass?
No. Well, maybe. I didn't know.
But do you eat the stuff that most people would toss away? I mean, they're very efficient when it comes to using the whole animal.
Oh, yeah. Same with the pig, man.
Yeah, pig's feet. People chew on those things still.
Yep.
Pig ears.
Nope. Not going to eat those. Not going to eat those.
All right. It's just, parade of libtard snowflakes continues.
All right. Oh, Dr. Mina.
Dr. Mina.
Hey, Doc.
Hey, guys. Yes, that should become... I thought my introduction was stupid scientist, but apparently now I'm a lip-tard snowflake or something like that.
Snow-tard. We're snow-tard.
Snow-tard lip-flakes.
Andrew Zimmern's a snow-tard. We just found that out. Well, actually, I knew he was.
By the way, most scientists are snow-tard lip-flakes.
Yeah, because they're smart.
Yes, we are. And, I caught up with the podcast a couple days ago, I guess last week, end of last week, where you were talking about the March for Science.
Right.
And,
when is that?
They don't have a date yet,
okay,
and everyone I know is waiting to find out when it is, because every scientist I know is planning on going.
Good.
Could you please refrain from using the phrase, believe me, I've soured on that one.
Yeah.
Well, yes, and so you were asking, I think you were discussing, are we angry or pissed off? And the answer is yes. Yes, pretty much.
Scientists, I did say that a couple days ago in the podcast. When we're not scientists, and I get angry when I know people are wrong about science. Well, I couldn't imagine if I was a scientist and sitting in a bar and somebody says, there's no global warming. Don't you just want to shoot yourself in the head?
It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating because you know the work and the vetting and the back and forth and the arguments that scientists have come through to get their work published accurately. I mean, you go through a whole peer-reviewed process, and trust me, our peers are not nice. They rip us apart.
And
they tear into everything.
And before you get
it
to
even
that,
gets published.
And then before that, you got an undergrad degree and a PhD in something. You're a scientist.
You've spent your whole life learning how to do this properly. This has been your life, your whole life.
But
I don't know if you heard, and about that, whether or not we have time. Oh, we have time.
Yeah.
We will find the time. We will make the time to get down there.
Yeah.
That's no problem, whenever the march is. But they haven't announced the date. I don't think so.
Earlier, before you just called, I know you don't listen live, but we just had a conversation about weight and people that are fat and go to the doctor. Do doctors shy away from saying you got to lose weight?
No. We shouldn't. We should not.
We should, but do they shy away?
I do not.
Okay.
I know that sometimes it used to be, let me rephrase this. When I was a medical student, certainly I saw encounters where that was not brought up, although it was obvious.
Right.
But we have so many associated medical problems now that just things that are clearly losing even 10% of your weight would make an impactful difference on liver disease, obstructive sleep apnea, breathing problems, you know, reflux, that you can't have a conversation about treatments for those without saying to them, listen, we got to lose some weight. You got to lose some weight.
Okay.
So I bring it up with all my patients who might be, you know, who tell me they're trying to lose weight or who actually need to lose weight and aren't trying. And we have a conversation about how to do this. And it's a process. It's a tough, tough process to do, but it's important to them. And it's a nice,
Todd thinks his cardiologist is getting mad at him because he won't. Is it a he or she? Your cardiologist?
She. Yeah.
Because he won't quit. And she's smoking, excuse me.
Smoking.
And she's finally saying, you know, she's getting mad at him. Do doctors
good.
Get she, I good. Agree with her. She should get
oh,
mad
yeah.
At him.
I have walked into my doctor's offices and just like stamped my feet and told them that smoke was coming out of my ears and they're killing me. I was like, yo, this is ridiculous.
Right.
What are we. Because they need to see you care. I mean, this is. We are not doing this for our own health, trust me. We're doing this because our job is to care for you and to care about your health. And so, yeah, we should be angry. We should be fighting for. I mean, that's why I get so happy that I see all these medical students, all these people who are training, who are fighting for the Affordable Care Act, because this has provided us, it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it's provided us the ability to take care of patients we otherwise would never be able to. We should be invested in our patients' care. This is our job.
So this is the final day for the ACA today, right?
Yes, that's why I was calling, to say today is the deadline. This is the only guarantee for you to get health care in 2017. It is a guarantee, and even if they repeal it, this is a standing mandate. You cannot be denied the health care you sign up for the year 2017, and I can't make any guarantees because I have not seen a plan.
They don't have a plan.
And so I really want to urge folks, please make sure your friends and family are enrolled. I put the link again on my Twitter account. It's just www.healthcare.gov, and you can just go sign up. Please get your friends and family signed up.
You mentioned on your Twitter, and I shared it a couple weeks ago, that your parents were immigrants.
Yes, they were.
Directly from India, what year?
Directly from India. They came probably 2 years before I was born, so it would have been about 74.
Okay, so that's not that long ago.
Yeah, but that's one of the good countries.
But they're still immigrants.
Well,
yeah.
they're still immigrants.
They're still brown.
They still have green cards.
Right.
I mean, they still, you know, and this is a problem. I on so many levels, this hurts me. I have family members who are Muslim. I have friends who are Muslim. We're brown skinned, mm-hmm. and I've got colleagues, scientists, doctors who are stuck and can't get back here, or now can't go back home to see their own families. I mean, there was a great sign of a Mount Sinai doctor this weekend. It said, I'm here working to take care of your mother, but I can't go home to see mine.
I read that this ban could cause a doctor shortage.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Come on, all the brown ones. We're some of the best ones.
Well, yeah, you are. Yeah.
No, I mean,
every place has brown doctors, man.
Well,
they're everywhere.
It could cause a shortage across. But seriously, for a second, this could cause a shortage across multiple different jobs. I mean, like Google and other companies like that are saying that they'll get a brain drain because people who are immigrants will not want to come here if this is the type of country that we are. They will want to go and work in Europe somewhere where they're welcome, where they can pass freely, where they don't have to worry about, they don't have to worry about getting stopped and having their five-year-old son taken away from them for hours and hours.
Yeah, you saw that. I also retweeted that because I was going to retweet that. I'm sorry if I didn't or not, but you mentioned the ASAT, Ryan's, was it Priebus or was it
Spicer.
Scary Spicer? Scary Spicer said they actually kept the five-year-old brown kid.
Who is a U.S. citizen?
U.S.
By
citizen.
The way.
They
His
detained
mother
him.
Is Iranian, but he is a U.S. citizen, and they detained him for over 4 hours.
Five years old.
Could not talk to his mother. His mother could not see him. Had no idea what was going on. And Spicer's like, "Oh, it's just an inconvenience."
How old your brown kid, there, Dr. Mina?
5 years
there
old.
There you go.
It hit me.
Keep an eye on
hard.
Him.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know.
You don't know what he's up to.
I'm trying to, you know, the most complicated conversations I've had are trying to explain to him what's going on.
Ah, that's sad.
Because,
me too.
You know,
I've been having that with my daughter and my son. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you know,
days.
And for him, he just doesn't understand it. He's like, last night he said, well, maybe we could make a book, Mommy. We could put a book together that Donald Trump could read and he could understand that.
Yeah,
and then
right.
we could have the people,
read
you know.
Read and
like,
understand. That's
right.
Yeah.
It would have to be... It would have to, it would have to be about him before he read it. The guy
exactly.
doesn't read. All right, the guy gets the internets and he watches the shows.
Yeah.
Yes, they showed a picture of a bookshelf that apparently is in the White House. It's one of the first things you see when you walk in the White House. And it used to have all these amazing books that, you know, historical books, whatever. Now it just has about 12 books, and they're all his books with his face on them.
Now I'm going to be Todd here for a second. How do we explain to people that I just heard this past 5 minutes of conversation with you, and they were going, la, 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 we're safe now.
Right, shut up, get over it,
right.
We won.
I read there are professors, there are students. I saw a student, two Princeton kids can't come back and finish their semester.
Yes.
Because, I mean, these are Princeton students. I mean, they're not even, I mean, it's just ridiculous. They're from Britain,
listen,
by the way, originally with their dad. Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this, too. Are we guilty of not, in, you know, because I find it difficult to talk to these people, and they don't want to talk to us. I just don't know how to engage and to get them
know.
To engage.
So I want to say that, first of all, there are some that it's impossible to engage with. And
yeah.
I don't know.
That's called our Facebook.
You have to find the common denominator that directly impacts them. If somebody that they love has gotten sick, if they're
they don't
in a
know
hospital,
anybody.
In a hospital,
right.
And they have a doctor who has different colored skin who's taking care of them, maybe that's the direct link. But I will also say that I've had now a couple of encounters, direct messages with people, I think they're listeners, on Twitter who just ask questions. And we may not philosophically agree on everything. We may be totally different parties, but they have asked interesting, good questions. I've tried to give them honest answers and direct them when I don't know the answer. And I hope through that kind of engagement, people can see that, listen, we're all human beings everywhere, and the world is small.
Yeah, it's real
small.
The
world is very, very small, and you may not think you know somebody, but you do know someone who's impacted by all of these things that are going on.
Yeah, it's, that's a key word. The world is small. I don't think a lot of people get that.
You may not believe it, but you do. You know these people. They are going to get hurt. They could be your own family members. They could be friends. They could be your doctor. They could be your doctor's family. It does require thinking one step outside of yourself sometimes, but it will come back and directly impact you. It will.
Snowtard. You're a snowtard.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, one more thing. You guys were talking about your new morning show. I think it was
like
Ativan and alcohol. Ativan and alcohol in the morning.
Yeah.
That one is a great show until one of them dies, you know.
Oh, Jesus. All right. I quit drinking during the week. Give me a break. Thanks, Doc.
Love you guys. Take care. Have a wonderful day.
Man, that's a bummer.
You know, I'm concerned about you not drinking during the week.
Why?
Well, because I don't want you to drink too much on the weekend.
I don't, actually. I don't. You know, I'm a busy man. It might not sound like it, but I'm...
No, I know you're busy. You're always out of town.
I'm freaking busy, man. I'm busy. The kids keep me busy. Richard, you're busy, right?
A little bit.
Are you with Tammy this weekend?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. And
awesome.
Craig's here too this
Craig,
week. Right?
Yeah, Richard
yep.
Reese, Craig Peters. And
wow.
Yeah.
Craig Peters, yeah.
Craig Peters and Tammy Pescatelli, Funny Bone. Later this week, Richard Reese with us. We're going to take a break. Mark Lundholm and the I Can't Drink or Booze Anymore tour.
Curtis Matthews will
yes,
be joining
him. Yes, they're
both
coming in a little later on, but Richard's with us now. Hang on.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.